Buena, and we've got Anita Biederman with us, and we got Rick Salhammer, our deputy attorney general, and we got Nancy Foley, our deputy director of law enforcement, with us at the office here. And I'll start off with you, Richard, for the record, who you have in your location with you.
Okay, right now, for the record, I have Richard Rogers here we've mentioned who else is in the room so far. Do you want the public speakers?
We'll wait on that. Just so who you already have said on the record who's in your
Well, for the record, the Marine Advisor, Craig Schumann, Dr. Schumann. We have Marcy Yuremko and Maria Vojkovic.
Okay. All right, Commissioner Sutton.
Good morning.
Besides you and your dog.
Good morning from Monterey. Me and Cody and Don Kelly, Captain Kelly, is here, and there are two other DFG staff. Let me let them introduce themselves.
Matthew Mishy
and
Deb Wilson Vandenberg.
Deb Wilson Vandenberg are both here.
Okay, and Commissioner Richards, have you got anybody with you?
I am sitting in beautiful Ontario, California, by my lonesome.
Hey, thank you, Dan. And Commissioner Bayless.
Yeah, Commissioner President, hi. This is Jack Bayless, and I have with me Warden Collins. We're in the Caltrans District 7 office here in Los Angeles. We have no members of the public or no other people from Fishing Game with us.
Okay. With that, we're going to let John tee up our first item on this morning's agenda.
Okay. First item, well, before we go to the agenda items, we'll allot, Mr. President, 3-minute speaker time when we have public speakers. Is that what you wish?
That's good.
Okay. And I will ask each of the locations if you have speaker cards when we get to each item, but it'll be 3 minutes, and we'll time it from here. And when we get to 3 minutes in Sacramento, we're going to be tapping or noting or letting you know that your 3-minute time has been reached. So, again, get those speaker cards submitted. At this point in time, we have no speaker cards in Sacramento. Item 1A is an update on the status of federal groundfish fishing regulations. And, Commissioners, if you recall, we had a rulemaking package on this, which you adopted at the October 21st meeting of 2010. You made changes to ground fishing regulations, and your intent was to conform with the federal ground fish regulations that at that time were expected to go into effect in January of 2011. But there were some problems with NOAA Fisheries and getting these things approved in a timely manner, and the commission directed us, the staff that is, to withdraw the package until the file could be resubmitted when the federal regulations became known. We have, Commissioners Maria Vojkovic and Marcy Yuremko with the Department of Fish and Game, who are able to give us an update on this. Item 1B will be action on proposed changes to conform with the federal groundfish regulations. But Maria and Marcy, we'll turn that over to you if that's appropriate.
Thanks, John. Marcy Yuremko with the Department's Marine Region. The federal groundfish regulations that John is referring to actually became effective on May 11th. So at this point in time, the state's regulations are out of alignment with those new federal rules. So the action you'll take today potentially would bring our state Title 14 regulations into conformance with the new rules. Approximately 14 recreational fishing measures are at stake here. As John mentioned, you've already adopted most of them in your action of October 21st. We received information from NOAA Fisheries in November that on the federal side, the rules were going to be held up for two reasons. One, the fact that the EIS documentation that would support those 14 changes was not completed adequately, and they would need some additional time to bolster and reorganize the document so that it would substantiate those changes. They also notified us that potentially, due to a court order that had become effective kind of in the interim, that potentially NOAA would be examining some of these measures.
Marcy, excuse me for a second. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
This is John Fisher. I'm only interrupting Marcy because staff has informed me that Diane Windham from NOAA Fisheries may be calling in on this. I heard the phone beep just a second ago, and that may be Diane.
It was. Sorry I'm late. I did not have the call-in number.
Okay, Diane, so Marcy Yaremko with Department of Fish and Game is speaking, and then if you want to speak, we can get you lined up at the president's pleasure. So go ahead, continue on, Maria. I'm sorry, Marcy, continue on, and I'm sorry for the interruption.
Okay, thank you. So we were notified also that NOAA Fisheries would be examining these recreational measures for consistency with a new court order that had come down kind of in the interim during the course of the federal biennial specifications development process. So that new court order kind of came about after these measures had been developed. So we were notified that additional scrutiny would be given to some of these measures, particularly those two that were proposed for the Calcott conservation areas. And those two specifically, the first one would have allowed fishing for rockfish in the Calcott conservation area out to 30 fathoms. Presently, that line is at 20 fathoms. And the second item, also in the Calcott area, would have allowed retention of shelf rockfish in addition to nearshore rockfish, which is the only type of rockfish right now that is authorized for targeting inside of 20 fathoms, targeting and retention. So NOAA Fisheries let us know that this was going to be closely scrutinized to ensure consistency with that court order. The court order pertained to overfish rockfish specifically, and cowcod being an overfished species was one of the focus species of that court order. So they were particularly interested in making sure that the new rec measures were consistent with the court order. So on April 29th, the feds provided the letter that you have in your briefing book explaining their rationale for the disapproval of the two measures in the Calcott conservation area. And the basis for their decision is primarily that they just didn't have enough confidence in the state's analysis that there would be absolutely no impact to Calcott if we allowed fishing out to 30 fathoms and we allowed the shelf retention. So they disapproved those two items out of those 14 recreational measures. So what you have in front of you today...
Maria?
Yes.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? This is Dan.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever... I don't recall that ever occurring in the past where they pulled out a couple of our recommendations.
Well,
has that occurred before?
It has, not recently. The way this works is the Pacific Fishery Management Council is advisory. They make recommendations to National Marine Fisheries Service regarding the rules that they will ultimately implement. So NIMS always kind of holds that trump card in their hand. While it's very unusual for them not to go with the council recommendation, they do have authority to do it.
And what's the department's feelings or position on the recommendation to not include that?
Well, here's the situation. We made the recommendation to the council back in June of 2010 when the council was deciding these measures. We recommended both the extension of the line out to 30 and the shelf retention measure. The council agreed with us and recommend on a 13-1 vote that these measures be included, the one dissenting vote being National Marine Fisheries Service, and they did explain the reason for that dissenting vote was because of this need to review for consistency with a court order. That said, the department always, you know, while we originally did make this recommendation, now there's a, the circumstances have changed now that NIMS has disapproved the recommendation. And that is because, as a general rule, we always recommend that we have state regulations that are consistent with those federal rules that apply from 3 to 200 miles. And the reason for that is that it creates a chaotic situation when it comes to enforcement and for public outreach and information. It's a very difficult situation that everybody is put in if you have rules that are different under state law and federal law. So while that was our original recommendation, the circumstances are now different.
Okay. That's enough. I got it.
Okay, moving right along. Was Marcy done?
Yeah. So essentially what you have in front of you is a is an action to we're asking you to take action on this on the continuation notice that the commission filed to align our state regulations with the new federal rules, and that you make a decision on the two items in front of you to conform them with the federal rules.
Mr. Chairman?
Who's this?
It's Mike Sutton in Monterey.
Okay, Mike.
Just wanted to let the rest of the commission know that yesterday in Santa Barbara, Commissioner Rogers and I chaired a Marine Resources Committee meeting, and we discussed this at great length with both Maria and Marcy and Sankey. All three of them were there. And while we agreed with the department that the process here could have been better, especially the late notice of that the Fisheries Service was going to not approve, was going to exercise what amounts to a line item veto on the council recommendations. We also agreed with the department that at this stage, conformance with the federal rules is probably the only really viable choice. And to Commissioner Richard's question earlier, there have actually been many occasions in the past in which the Fisheries Service has not approved a council recommendation for one reason or another. And the councils are affirmatively advisory in the Magnuson-Stevens Act. It makes that explicit. The final decisions on fisheries regulations rest with the Fisheries Service, delegated from the Secretary of Commerce. So it's clear that the Fisheries Service has the authority to do this. And we have little choice but to conform to that in order to make regulations consistent and not create an enforcement nightmare.
Okay, does anybody have public comment, folks, in their in their location?
Santa Barbara does, but no one wants to speak on this issue.
Ontario does not.
Monterey?
None in Monterey.
Not in Los Angeles.
And none here. So, commissioners, any other comments or questions?
This is Commissioner Bayless, President Kellogg. I just want some clarification. The reason we're not doing what the department originally recommended is, one, to be in alignment with the feds, but also, did I hear, Marcy, you say that if the rockfish is overfished? So we were going to go out to further depths of 30 fathoms. They didn't, the lawsuit and the feds are not doing it because that's overfished. Is that what their data show?
No. The situation here with the overfish pertains only to Calcod. And this is the fishing activity we're talking about here is exclusively that within the Calcod conservation area.
I understand. And that area was found to be overfished.
Calcod has been overfished for several years. However, the depth distribution of Calcod, they don't actually really, you don't start seeing them until about 50 fathoms in depth. So that's why initially we were comfortable recommending an increase in the depth and the shelf retention.
You're saying the feds are being more conservative by keeping it at 20.
Yes, and the reason that we made the recommendation on the shelf retention piece is that when people are targeting nearshore rockfish inside of that 20,000 depth contour, they are still catching healthy stocks of shelf rockfish incidentally. Right now, under the law, they are required to release those fish, and so it's a significant discard situation. So that's where our perspective was coming from with our original recommendations.
I just think, and President Kellogg, thank you for allowing me to speak. I just think it's important that our recorded dialogue get to the intent versus just talking about, I mean, I agree with Commissioner Sutton, we want to be in alignment, but we also understand, want to understand why and provide to the public that reasoning and understanding.
Mr. President, I have a comment, if Mr. Rogers.
Go ahead, Richard.
Jack, I agree with you about underlying issues. I must say that having listened yesterday to a rather full and complete discussion of this at the MRC by fundamentally all involved, with the exception, of course, of NEMS, we at the MRC, and Mike, you can chime in if you have a different opinion, are not remotely persuaded that the federal position is anything but an attempt to dodge what they perceived as a legal question. In other words, it's risk management, as opposed to what Jack is just trying to get his hands around, as to whether or not there's a biological issue. It is the considered judgment of the state that there is no biological risk to the cow-cow. And to further emphasize this, the incidental catch problem that Marcy just mentioned is an extraordinary problem. Most of the guys, like recreational guys, for example, who are out there, are after yellowtail and sea bass, and they are definitely going to be on the shelf in less than 20 fathoms of water. And if you look at that, at the shelf lines around the islands out there, what you're going to find is the three mile line is outside the 20 mile line, in all cases. And we don't believe, the state does not believe, there is any ascertainable risk at all to the cow-cod if we were to allow shelf rockfish. We understand the problem here of being out of sync with the feds. Marcy mentioned the chaos that this would cause with respect to the wardens. I am really not at all comfortable with voting for confirmation, in the sense that this is one more opportunity for recreational fishermen that is being taken away, and in this case, without any biological justification. None. Zip, zilch, zero. This is not a proper thing to do. The feds know very well this is not a proper thing to do. This was not a proper way for them to conduct business. I will agree that we should conform with them, but I sure don't want to be seeing this in the future.
Commissioner Rogers, this is Commissioner Bayless. Thank you for further explaining. And you're right, I was trying to get into the biology. Just to understand, as you all are helping me, as I'm a newbie on the commission, rockfish is a year-round fish, right? You were mentioning it's more sea bass and yellowtail. Aren't they more seasonal?
But what happens is if you're fishing in that zone, you know, for sea bass and porkies, you're going to end up picking up some rockfish, and the way this thing is now going to work is that you're going to have to discard those. Well, contrast this. You may be aware that the European Fisheries Commissioner she's trying right now to reduce bycatch and incidental catch throwaway in both the Mediterranean and the Baltic. And so here the Europeans are in the process of doing something that apparently NIMS is perfectly happy allowing.
Okay, any more comments from the commission?
Well, just one, Mr. President. It's Mike Sutton in Monterey. It is, of course, possible to release shelf rockfish alive if you know how to do it. And that requires that they be treated for barotrauma with a device or puncturing swim bladder or whatnot. So I don't think discards in this case are inevitable. However, I agree with Commissioner Rogers that the regulations, the rules that that we're being asked to approve today will probably result in an increase of discards for people fishing in that area. We would have been comfortable allowing them to retain those shelf rockfish down to 30 fathoms. The feds are being more precautionary because they signed a settlement agreement in this lawsuit that compels them to do so. And so they may not have a choice either here.
Mike, I think you're defending lawyers in general.
That seems to be my role in the commission.
Marcy just grimaced at me, being a lawyer.
Indeed.
Well, short of us hiring 1,000 new wardens to put on the water tomorrow to help police any change that we made in what this recommendation is, I think we definitely need to talk as a commission about in the future when we have this kind of a situation, how we would prefer to address it. But for now, what's the pleasure of the commission? We have a suggested motion.
I will move that the suggested motion be adopted.
Second.
I must say I'm irritated in doing so, but I move for conformance. And John, you have the motion?
Would you like me, Mr. President, to read that?
John's going to read the suggested motion. We got a motion and a second, and then we'll read the motion and I'll ask for any questions.
For the record, the motion is that the Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to the authority of the Fish and Game Code, particularly sections 200, 202, 205, 215, 20, 40, 702, 7071, 8587.1, and 8588, and to implement and interpret these sections of the Fish and Game Code, which will all be listed in the meeting summary and made part of the official record, as well as 50 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 600, Subpart G, hereby amends numerous sections of Title 14, which will be included in the record here, regarding recreational and commercial fishing regulations for federal groundfish and associated species to be consistent with federal rules.
That was my motion.
Yes, and this specifically will restrict the take of shelf rockfish in waters open to groundfish within the CCA. It maintains the 20-fathom allowable groundfish depth in the CCA to conform to federal rules, and it confirms your actions of October 21 on all the other changes.
Okay, that's a motion and a second. Any other questions from the commission before I ask for a vote? We'll do it because we are on teleconference. I'm going to request a roll call vote from Director Fisher. We'll take that vote now, please.
Okay, Mr. President. Commissioner Bayless.
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton.
Aye.
Commissioner Richards.
Aye.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Kellogg.
Aye. That motion passed unanimous and will still be recorded. Next item.
Item number two, update and possible commission action on request of the Cultured Abalone Incorporated in Santa Barbara County to lease kelp head number 26. Commissioners, in your meeting binders, there's a summary of this matter. And briefly, at your March 3rd meeting, the commission received a request from the Cultured Abalone Incorporated to transfer its lease from kelp head 27 to kelp head 26. Pursuant to Section 165.5 of Title 14, the Commission Office has published the required legal notice in the local newspaper. A little bit on this in the way of background. The Marine Life Protection Act required designation of MPAs in Southern California. Kelp bed 27 is, at least a part of it, is within a protected area. Doug Bush and the Cultured Abalone Incorporated were leasing that bed so that kelp harvest activities would be restricted when the regulations went into effect. Mr. Bush became aware of this and essentially asked to transfer his lease from kelp bed 27 to 26. There aren't any official provisions for doing a transfer. Commission staff went through the process of basically saying, okay, you submitted a bid to lease bed 26. We'll do all the procedural things that need to be done, and we'll make all the conditions of the lease essentially the same as they were for kelp bed 27. We've gone through the requisite legal notice. We've gone through the requisite announcing to other kelp bed operators and other people who have kelp harvesting licenses that the commission is considering this matter. There has been no public comment on this in terms of other people who are fishing for kelp or who have kelp permits. I'm sorry. There have been no competing bids or anything like that. You're in a situation now, Commission, where you could take action on this and essentially approve this lease if you wish. It's my understanding that Mr. Bush may have filled out a speaker card on this. Is that true?
Yes, he has, John.
Okay. Mr. President, we could hear from Mr. Bush, and then we could hear from other speakers, and then if you have discussion, you can have that discussion. We have a motion prepared, if you wish.
Okay, let's, Commissioner Rogers, you've got public speakers. Let's hear from the speakers. You have that, please.
Thank you, President Kellogg. Douglas Bush.
Good morning, Commission. This is Douglas Bush, General Manager for the Cultured Abalone. I'll be brief. First, I'd like to just express an appreciation for the Commission's acknowledgement of the critical nature of kelp as a forage supply for our business plan, and acknowledging the level of cooperation and sort of that all parties have exhibited as stakeholders in moving forward with the MLPA process. I'd also like to encourage that a round the table acknowledgement that while the kelp leasing program is probably not perfect, we as stewards of the kelp resource will continue to operate, you know, transparently and positively, and if there are opportunities as stakeholders and users to improve the process, we're happy to be engaged in that going forward. And in the meantime, I'd like to encourage you to approve our application for leasing bed 26 and moving forward our business model for sustainable seafood production of California Red Abalone. Thanks very much.
John, I have one more speaker card. Is it time for that?
Okay.
Before we get to that speaker, could I ask Mr. Bush a couple questions?
Even though you guys can't see me, you need to go through the chair.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, this is Dan.
Richard referred to John when he was talking about the other speaker, and I might say, no, I can't speak, Richard.
Yep, you're right.
Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Bush, you have a lease that runs through March 31st, 2013, is that correct?
For bed 27, the bed in question that would be overlaid by the Campus Point to Coal Oil Point Marine Reserve, that's correct.
Okay, and what's the annual lease payment on that?
It's per tonnage. It's per tonnage harvested, so it's $2 per wet ton.
And what's that end up being on an annual basis to the state?
It couldn't be. It varies pretty wildly on consumption, and the reason is the reason for the variance is that we cut there seasonally. We cut there during the winter and spring months, and in the summer and fall months, we tend to cut from our lease that's accessible from the Morro Bay Harbor. And we move our cutting operation back and forth between those two points based on our management and assessment of the kelp forest and the availability and the season and such. But if you were to, like, say, normalize this out linearly and just take a working average of 6 months So 26 weeks, and at full capacity, our farm would do about 36 tons a week, $2 a ton, $72 a week for 26 weeks.
Okay. This looks, I'm shocked at a five-year lease, actually. Usually we're looking at leases a little longer than that. Is that what has been typically your typical length of lease?
The kelp lease is structured such that it's five-year terms renewable to a total of 20 years.
Okay.
With assessments that historically we've come in and said, this is, we've met all the reporting standards. We've harvested, kelp, and this is what we've done. And I won't say rubber stamp, but generally the five year renewals have been pretty smoothly. I don't think that historically there have been problems with those.
All right. So basically, you're just wanting to move over here, and the state's getting something like $1,800-$1,900 a year for that lease.
Right. I mean, it's just to be thorough. It's to use the word lease. I know I do understand that is a bit of a loaded term right now. And just to be clear, there's no structure. There's no state lands component to this. It's it's more of a harvesting agreement than a lease. So yes, you could view it as a lease or a surcharge or whatever. But yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Richard, you had another public speaker there.
I do. Commissioners, Paul Weakland. Well, we know that the aquaculture leases are in great dispute, and supposedly Dan Richards is working on getting the people's fair share out of this commercial endeavor. I say again, the commercial fishermen only allowed to have their permit for 1 year. And the burden that is put on us for that, we would gladly have the same fair and equitable treatment of a five-year fishing permit to relieve us of a yearly renewal. The other things that are not being adequately transpiring is that $2 a ton, that is not a good return for the people's resource. And the fact that this lease is going to privatize a public resource is not acceptable. Without this lease and without this request going through, this business still has full ability to harvest the kelp in this location. And as Mr. Bush said, this is part of his business plan. This is to assure him that no one else will be able to move in, and he will monopolize this whole area. This would be good for his investors. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature in such a way, and I'd like to say, wouldn't you like to buy some shares in an aquaculture pyramid? How about some stock in a Mariculture Ponzi Consortium? These are the business plans. And the past conduct and of these facilities is not being readily acknowledged. We're starting fresh again. Don't look to yesterday and all the problems and all of the devastation that was created by the introduction of some of these species, such as the withering syndrome, the abalone wasting disease, and the parasites. Oh, no. We wiped that clean off of the record, and we're starting fresh again. The first aquaculture in California was back in the 1880s, and it has been a failure ever since. And to privatize this public resource in such a manner is not doing the citizens of the state of California the best benefit. Thank you.
Okay, Richard, we have no more speakers. Public speakers there?
No, sir, we have no more.
Any of the rest of the commissioners have public speakers in your location?
None in Ontario.
Okay, I'm President Kellogg, none in Los Angeles. Thank you.
None in Monterey.
And none here in Sacramento. So we've got a suggested motion if somebody is willing to make a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah, before the motion, Mr. President, I'm sorry. The question in my mind is whether you wish to continue this through March 31st of 2013, which were the conditions of the lease for bed 27, or whether you wish to go for a five-year term. And that's, you have the ability to make a decision there. Mr. Bush has essentially complied. On this matter, we have essentially complied with all of the code and Title 14 requirements to do a new lease and not to do a transfer or anything of that. So your question is term. If you wish a five-year term, I can read a motion.
I'll refer that to the Aquaculture Committee to respond.
Dan, I'm good in this regard. Please go ahead, Dan.
My instincts are let's transfer his lease, and because until we can get all of our lease templates organized, you know, he still gives him plenty of time. It really doesn't change anything other than he keeps doing his business in a different locale than where he's doing it, which he's requested. So I just say, I'm in favor of allowing them to move from one bed to the other, but let's leave the term as it is so we can address it a little bit later here once we get our template in order.
Legal counsel has a comment to make, Rick Thalhammer.
Just to remind the commissioners, this is a kelp lease, not a shellfish leash. So we're not working on, currently working on any changes to the lease template. And the situation we're in is, as John mentioned, not really a transfer of this gentleman's lease, but he went through the process of obtaining a brand new lease, and the standard term for that is 5 years. So I'm not sure that doing in effect a transfer and moving the terms of the prior lease into this one is really what the procedure we accomplished.
What the letter from them says is we would like to propose, quote, transferring the existing agreement from bed L27 to bed L26. That is what their request was.
And I would agree with you that it's certainly, given that proposal from the operator or the prospective tenant, that you could limit the terms of the new lease. It's just that's not what would the procedure that we follow to get this new lease in place. In other words, if we had somebody else outbidding this man, we would have to give him the five-year term.
Dan, if I may, Mr. President, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
Dan, yesterday, one of the things that we discussed, first of all, as you know, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, these kelp operations are very, very different than the lease template that we're talking about. These are two separate conversations.
Right.
The other thing, and I know you know that. The other thing is, we talked a lot yesterday, and Mike, you may want to chime in on this, about the issues regarding leases. Kelp leases within MPAs and around MPAs, and that conversation, I have a feeling that conversation is going to extend a number of years. That is going to take some time to work all of this out. Mike, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, Mr. President, with your permission.
Mr. Scott.
We did have a lengthy discussion about the management of kelp harvest off the California coast yesterday. The department, Maria Vojkovic, presented a pretty thorough picture, along with Dr. Schumann, our marine advisor, of the way we've managed kelp. It's an archaic management system where some, quote, beds, which are really regions of the coast, are open, some are leased, some are closed, some are leasable. And the department is of the opinion that the demand for kelp is going to be increasing in the near future, not so much for aquaculture, but also for the production of alginates, you know, from kelp. So commercial harvesting of kelp is going to be increasing. So what we really need to do is a comprehensive rethink or overhaul of the way we manage the kelp resource off the California coast. And that will probably result in changes to the way these leases are done. But until then, I think our council is right. What we have here is essentially a request for a new lease, and we should probably treat it that way. We are going to ask our marine advisor to put this on his work plan for the coming year, to work with the department and others to figure out what would be the modern and sort of ecosystem-based management of kelp. It's not a fishery. It's not covered by the Marine Life Management Act. So it's really a separate animal, as he said, even though it's a plant. And it's something we need to look at. We'll be doing that through the MRC.
If I may, Mr. President.
Mr. Rogers.
Dan, one of the things that's important to note here is that, as Commissioner Sutton was saying, the designation of these kelp beds happened, Maria, how long ago? That was a long time ago. Dozens and dozens and dozens of years, back in the 60s maybe, 50s, 60s. There are 87 designated kelp beds in California, and 58 of them lie partially or completely within MPAs. This means that we are going to have to engage in a process here that is going to take a considerable period of time, which is why I am inclined to give the cultured abalone a 5-year.
Given both, Mr. President, this Dan.
Mr. Richards.
Given Mike and Richard's comments, then I'm okay with the 5 years. That makes sense to me as well.
Okay, then I'm going to ask Mr. Fisher to read the suggested motion. Somebody got to make the motion. Did we do that?
We haven't made a motion yet.
Okay.
The motion.
We'll read the motion, and then I need a maker in a second. As I understand it, the motion is lease of kelp bed L26 for a 5-year term.
So moved.
Second.
And move and seconded. We'll have a roll call vote.
For the record, before we do the roll call, Commissioner Rogers made the motion. Commissioner Sutton seconded it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Commissioner Bayless?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Aye.
Commissioner Richards?
Aye.
Commissioner Rogers?
Aye.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Aye.
Passed unanimously, 5-0, by roll call vote. Mr. President, I have nothing else on the agenda except that I would like to announce that our next meeting is June 29th and 30th in Stockton.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners, and all the participants. I now declare this meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
We're the only ones who left.
Oh, yes.
And we can be gone too.